Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm David Metzger, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right, and as everybody knows, David is from Bullseye.com.
Howdy.
He is not fat.
Hey, where's Neil?
Neil is still at South by Southwest, touching Kristen Bell, apparently. We've got a voicemail from him. We may drop that in at the beginning.
I think I've done more shows in the last month than he has.
You know, I think you have, because he has just been... Well, you did one when I was in L.A.
Right.
And we had Kristen Dreyer Kramer last week, and now it's you again. So it might be... you might just have to change the show to Mutt and Jeff from now on. Because for those of you who haven't seen David's sex tape on the internet, he's not a fat guy.
I'm still holding out for the highest bidder. I'm not happy with the offers that have come in yet.
That's right. There you go. That's good for you. But anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, you can catch us at fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can check us on iTunes. Just type in Fat Guys. We'll come right up. You can also email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 614-388-8735. Have no idea whether anyone's called us lately, because Neil's the one who usually checks that, and he's out... getting arrested by stalking Kristen Bell out in Austin right now. See, you
or
guys
he's stalking the guy from Ask a Ninja.
Oh yeah. He always telling me he's
actually
he met
more excited
he met...
about that than he was about Kristen Bell.
Yeah, I know, that's bizarre. Because and if you look at the pictures, you can go to the Flickr on Film School Rejects and see pictures of our guys out there from from Film School Rejects. And it's funny because you got all these musicians and like cool guys, and then you got Kristen Bell, who's like 4 foot tall anyways, because she's this tiny little girl. And
she
she's
really?
Taking a picture with everybody, and each one she's got that fake smile with the "please don't kill me and eat me" look
right.
on her face. We have not heard from Kristen Bell yet, so maybe they did kill her and eat her. Who knows?
I would be very angry if that were true.
I know. Wait till she gets old and fat.
Really? Like, hey,
what?
You watch your tongue.
I'm sorry. Anyways, well, let's move on to the reviews. The first one we're going to talk about is Doomsday, which they did not screen for the press.
Boo.
Dumb move, because I think that's going to actually hurt its box office, because I don't think a whole lot of people know it's coming out otherwise. But this one, it stars Rana Mitra in tight pants going into the quarantine zone to find a cure for a virus.
This is the end of the world!
Containment is our absolute priority. Blockade all bridges, streets, and rail links.
It's the virus. It's back.
What the hell are we going to do?
What we're about to show you is highly confidential.
Survivors?
Inside the hot zone. And if there are survivors, there must be a cure.
You're going out there. If there's such a thing as hell on Earth, that's it.
I know what we're looking for.
If it's there, I'll find it.
If you've seen 28 Weeks Later, or if you've seen Resident Evil or Mad Max... I imagine if you threw all those together and put them in a blender, you'd probably end up with Doomsday.
I'm really disappointed that they didn't screen this, because this is Rob Marshall. That's his name, right?
Neil Marshall.
Rob Marshall, much different director. He directed The Descent, which I really, really liked.
Yeah.
So when I started seeing the news about this movie coming out, I was really pumped. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm
and they screened The Descent.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And we gave it favorable press.
Yeah.
Got very favorable press. And then this one just... nothing. Well, they're screening it in Cincinnati.
At like midnight.
At midnight. That doesn't count.
Well, and the thing is, they're not even doing midnight shows.
Right.
Where we live. And that's because I just don't think there's confidence in it. And it's one of those things that I've said, if you don't screen a movie, it's not good, because not only do people then assume it's bad, A,
right.
but B, you don't get anyone talking about it. You're lucky we're talking about it now.
I can't imagine this is any worse than either of the Underworld movies.
Yeah, absolutely. You and
know?
Apparently, Rana Mitra, who's dead ringer for Kate Beckinsale,
right?
In this, she's going to be doing Underworld 3.
She is in the third one, right? And they screen both of those movies.
Yeah.
So why not this one?
Yeah. Come on, Rogue Pictures preliminary suck. We have to.
Yeah.
It's a rule.
Pity. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, there
didn't
you go.
Want to. You forced our hand.
I probably would have liked it. But let's move on to another movie that they did screen. In fact, they screened twice, because we got snowed in on Saturday. We were supposed to see this, but then I couldn't even get down my street. I was contemplating making snowshoes to walk to the store. But Horton Hears a Who, they went ahead and did an extra screening for us, for those of us who didn't make it, and that was considerably numerous. Jim Carrey and Steve Carell star in the latest Dr. Seuss adaptation of an elephant trying to save a microscopic world on a speck of dust.
Hello!
Hello?
I don't
exactly know how to tell you this, but you're living on a spec.
Seriously, who is this? Is this Bert from accounting?
There are people on this spec.
Absurd.
They have a mayor who has 96 daughters and one son named Jojo, who all share a bathroom, whatever that is.
My favorite part about Horton Hears a Who is that it's not the Grinch.
Yeah, or the Cat in the Hat.
Oh my God, the Cat in the Hat.
I refuse to see it on general principle.
Yeah, it was the Cat in the Hat is so un-Cat in the Hat.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you love that book, do not see that movie. I read Horton Hears a Who like a long time, like when I was a kid. And it seems to really kind of embody the Dr. Seuss vision. It really felt like a Dr. Seuss movie.
I thought the design was spectacular.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing with the animated movies is that it's all about the pixels and, oh, how clean does it look? But this looked really, really clean, but that wasn't important. What was important was the design, and the design I thought was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It looked great.
It really did bring to life the Dr. Seuss drawings that you haven't gotten since the old school animation, and they even do a little nod to that.
Yes, they do, and that was one of the best parts in the movie.
Yeah, and one of the things that's nice about animated films is it's scripted, and I think that's part of what killed The Grinch, because even though The Grinch is scripted, you could tell when they did The Grinch, they got on set, and they're like, Jim Carrey, do your thing. Be wacky and crazy and obnoxious, and he went so over the top, they were showing it like 20 times a day on ABC Family or whatever over Christmas. So I ended up running into it and my kids were watching it. And I'm like, I hate this movie. It was so obnoxious. And then you go back and watch the original Grinch TV show with that Boris Karloff narrated and everything.
Yes.
And that was just so beautifully done.
Oh, yeah.
That was an absolute gem. And Jim Carrey really ruined The Grinch.
And I have to say, he was, in my opinion, the weakest thing about Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah.
I think they should have had whoever played Horton be much more of a straight man.
Yeah.
Similar, I mean, Steve Carell plays the mayor of Whoville in very much in a straight man fashion, too.
Very typical
Jim,
Steve
I just thought he overdid it. He was probably my least favorite thing about the movie.
But you could see where they like say, okay, do your thing, and they tried to make him like the genie from Aladdin.
Yeah, though that's exactly what I was thinking. And what's funny about that is that Robin Williams, I guess, did riff on the mic in the studio.
Oh, for Aladdin?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
and then the animators are going, oh, geez, who is that? Okay, that's Nicholson. All right, we got to draw Nicholson. Okay, that was Arsenio Hall. Oh, gosh, we got to draw Arsenio Hall. But
it worked for the genie. I mean, it worked for the genie in Aladdin. You could do. And generally, I don't like it when they just, because I think it can be funny on set, but then when you actually put it in the rest of the movie, you're like, well, this is out of place or it's silly.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't quite work. He did that in that awful movie, License to Wed. Robin Williams did.
I'll take your word for it. I skipped that one.
You're not going to go out and take one for the team and just go see it.
I take lots of them for the team, but that one
not that one.
Nah,
you're lucky.
No.
It wasn't good. But I thought Horton Hears a Who was really cute. It derails a little bit near the end, but it gets back on track until they get to the. This is not a spoiler, but they get to the ending, and we talked about this at the theater. You didn't like this, and they're like, we don't know how to end this. Let's turn to REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, and that stuff makes me nuts because they created this entire world that was completely different from ours, both the jungle and Whoville. Mm-hmm. And then what do they do at the very end? But they lean on a pop culture reference. To me, that's just lazy. I hate that stuff. They could have just come up with a genre, any kind of musical genre, and say, oh, let's have a Who down, you know, that would have been fine. Why couldn't they have just written a fake Who down or anything for that matter? Too bad.
Yes.
Really too bad.
Well, Fat Guy's great.
Kind of
really
rocks.
Good. I'll give it a rocks.
Wow. Okay. Hey, Kevin, you ready to crack some skulls?
I'm ready to crack some skulls. Are you ready to play some games?
Are they funny games?
They would be funny games if it was actually funny or entertaining
or
in a bit.
Anything other than what they actually were.
If you haven't figured out by now, we are now talking about our next film we're going to talk about. It's Funny Games. Torture porn for the art house crowd, starring Naomi Watts.
Hello.
Sorry to disturb you. I'm staying next door.
Please, come in.
Wow, that's a really great set of clubs.
Mr. Farber.
What?
Ah! Yeah!
You want to call someone? An ambulance? Or the police? Why are you doing this? We're gonna make a bet now. You bet that you'll be alive tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and we bet that you'll be dead.
Why don't you just kill us?
You shouldn't forget the importance of entertainment.
So, David, I already know where I stand on this film, and I reviewed it on the radio earlier this week, and I believe what I said was worst movie of the year. Now, do you want to throw down the gauntlet and go for not as bad as other movies?
Here's the thing. I'm deeply conflicted about this. On one hand, I've never wanted to spoil a movie for the movie going public as much as I want to spoil this one. I'm dying to tell people what happens just so they'll realize what the movie's like and say, oh, well, I'm not seeing that. Okay. On the other hand, I almost have to give it credit because it is well made. It's reasonably well acted. It's just I hate everything about the story. Well, and I did actually love Naomi Watts. I mean, she sold this with all that she had. I mean, she gave it everything she had, and it just but everything else about it was such a cheat. It was so pointless and nihilistic that it didn't matter.
I'm gonna actually take you on both things you said. First of all, you said it's very well done. Here's the thing. Of course it's well done. It's the second time he made the movie. he made this in 1997 in Austria, right. And it was in German.
Right.
And he's remade it literally shot by shot, frame by frame, I mean blocking by blocking. They use the exact same blueprints for the house that this awful thing happens in. So of course he's had a chance to do it once before. Right. You know, you could at least perfect upon it. And then on the whole thing with Naomi Watts and the acting, yes, it's very well acted. And I can understand why Naomi Watts and Tim Roth and people saw the movie and just were like, from an actor's point of view, I would love to do this movie because there's so much to work with. It's got a lot of stuff going on emotionally for an actor. It's gold. But you know what? If you're a Potter and you have a pottery wheel, you can take a cow pie, put it on the pottery wheel, and you're going to have a lot to work with, and it's going to be very interesting, but that doesn't stop it from being a big pile of crap.
I hope that people make sure that they don't give the director too much credit, because he stages these really long takes, and he makes it look like he's really doing something fancy, but it's all the work of the actors, because he's just sitting there holding the camera, and it's up to them to do all of the work. It's not like some elaborate Alfonso Cuarón-style tracking shot. It's just a long shot with the camera held in one place that might pan a little bit to the left. And there was one other thing about the movie that I actually liked for a movie of this genre is that all of the violence takes place off camera.
Yeah, well,
I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, but you know,
beating us over the head with it.
Well, the other thing though is that's not unique. They did that in Jaws. They've, you know, I mean, it goes back the days. You know, I mean, you've done Happiness was a great movie that had all the horrible things happen off screen. But it was done very effectively. This movie was, I can see what kind of like the point he was doing was like, oh, I want to, you know, like mess with convention. But this is the equivalent of going out on a date and saying to your date, I want this to be like unlike any date you've ever been on. And when she says, well, thank you, then you punch her in the face.
Right. And you never go, well, had that happen,
yeah,
have you?
She's like, yeah, but no, I'm calling the cops now.
Right, you know? Exactly. Well, I mean, I also don't like getting my finger wagged by for our sensationalist or our fascination with violence by a German, okay?
Well, he's Austrian.
No hypocrisy. I thought he was born in Berlin.
He may have been, I don't know.
It's like, no hypocrisy when you see it, okay?
Well, you know what? And I'll have to say, I had a chance to interview him. And
did you punch him in the face?
No, I would have, because I actually disliked the movie more after listening to him. Because one of the things I said, I wanted to just like start the interview and go, okay, what the hell?
First question, I hate you.
Yeah. I asked him,
discuss.
Go, what are you trying to say? What is your message with this movie? He's like, oh, there's no message.
Oh.
And I'm like, yes, there is.
Of course there is.
Don't like play coy with me. That sort of like faux European coy kind of, I'm just doing art. No, you have a reputation as a director for doing these like long, boring movies with brutal violence in the middle here and there. It's shocking. Right. And you're trying to say something. And he's like, I'm like, why reshoot it shot for shot? He's like, well, I just want it to be a wider audience. And then I ask him, there's a couple things in the movie I'm not going to go into because I don't want to spoil it, because if you really hate yourself, you may want to see this movie. But there are parts that there's a key part with a cell phone. And I can understand in Austria, in 1997, cell phones and text messaging and all that stuff was not as prevalent.
It was new, right.
And usually there's one cell phone for a family. In this movie, I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's 2008. It's in America. It's a wealthy family. Why don't they all have cell phones? Why doesn't the kid have a cell phone?
Right.
And why do they completely ignore text messaging? Blah, blah, blah. And I ask him this, and you could tell he kind of got mad because I like poked a hole in his movie. And I'm like, dude, I'm just asking you a question. Why didn't you fill that hole? You remain in, I understand that, but the world has changed, and it doesn't hold up.
I have another thing that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
When do the villains sleep?
Why does this work
all
every time?
Day long?
Yeah. It's such a poor choice of a movie. He did this in 97, but it feels like this movie was made because they're like, oh, well, torture porn does well. Hostel did okay in the Saw movies. But the thing is, even whether or not you like the Saw movies and Hostel, those are really nothing more than revamped versions of slasher movies from the 80s.
And Saw has a moral compass. It has a moral center. This movie has none.
Well, they both Hostels and all the Saw movies are morality plays. You know, if you look at the people who are quote-unquote doing the wrong things or being irresponsible or being stupid are the ones that get killed.
I didn't think Hostel had a moral center at all.
Well, not as much a moral center, but it was like a slasher movie.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the slasher movie being don't go to the camp, don't mess around, don't drink, don't have sex with each other, and those who do are the ones who get killed.
Are the ones who are going to die.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I saw In the Name of the King, the Uwe Boll movie, and that was at the bottom of my list, and it took seeing Funny Games to go below that.
You know, I don't even want to spend another second talking about this. He's not worth it. Let's go to the ratings?
It's a total sucks. Sucks.
Awful.
Just everything awful. You can imagine. Let's move on to the next movie because we don't have much time. Never Back Down, Fight Club meets the Karate Kid in the OC. Hooah!
You ready?
Get the hell out of here, man. I'm not fighting.
What the hell are you doing here?
Now for the bad news. It's gotta end.
The only time you're happy is when you're hurting people.
What are you gonna do about it?
Jake, wait.
I'm gonna stop this guy.
This movie, you actually made a comment. You asked whether it was responsible to make a movie like this.
Yeah, I did, because I see a bunch of teenagers now fighting each other after school.
Yeah.
After watching this.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they're smart enough not to. I think, as you said, they're trying to make the point that, or Jason Zingali, my coworker, is trying to make the point that the reason these kids are all doing this is because they have no parental guidance. Because none of these kids have guidance at all, because they're going to parties during the week. I mean, their parents just don't exist in the movie. One of the kids gets sent to the hospital, and his parents don't even come to pick him up.
They're non-existent, and even then, the parents are completely aloof and disconnected with the kids. And I thought that that's what they were going for with this movie, but I don't think they were being as deep.
I don't think they even gave it that much thought.
Yeah,
to be honest, and just I guess this whole movie lives in a universe that I'm not even sure exists anywhere.
I can guarantee you that the parties that they went to don't exist in this universe, because I went to a well-to-do school and it was a pretty big school, like 2,000 students. And if you had a party, you would have a handful of really attractive girls showing up, but you wouldn't have that many girls in bikinis.
Yeah, but you didn't grow up in Orlando either.
But still, Orlando is not necessarily like that.
They have an advantage of sun, so being in bikinis all the time, the girl's probably going to try a little harder. Anyway,
they wouldn't have like two girls in a sudsy hot tub making out in the middle.
Oh, Lord, no.
What party? I've never gotten invited to that party when I was in high school. I don't think that exists. No.
Okay, fight scenes, actually not kind of fun.
Well done.
Done. I still think half the cast would have lost half of their teeth. None of them are wearing mouth guards.
Well, and that's the thing. Well, and that's the thing with this movie is you looked at it and it was completely unrealistic because they're like wear boxing gloves, but it's mixed martial arts, so they can like knee people in the nose.
Oh yeah,
and kick people with their heel into their ribs, and you're like, somebody would die from that easily.
Internal bleeding. You can kill someone just from hitting their nose in the right spot.
Exactly. And the thing is, you would think if you've ever watched these fight scenes on YouTube. It's never that well choreographed. It's usually
you made it sound like it's like two cats
smack, yeah, and it's them yelling at each other, So it was a little over the top. I think it's going to be a little too violent to really strike a chord because it does kind of have that Fight Club, really gritty.
Oh yeah, especially with the villain.
Yeah,
who tried so hard to be Tyler Durden.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but Fat Guy's great.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it still kind of sucked.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say kind of sucked on this one.
I was lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette when you kiss me.
So, Dave, were you one of those people who believed that 10,000 BC was going to match 300?
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
And even though they had numbers in the title.
You know, I do a little more research than that instead of just seeing numbers and going, ooh, shiny. Yeah. I mean, and as you and I talked about after the movie was over, you know, I think even said it in the broadcast last week, I'm a Roland Emmerich apologist.
Yes.
And I would like to officially apologize.
For Roland Emmerich.
I mean, from the second I saw the trailer for 10,000 BC, I said, ooh, this does not look good.
Well, the research I saw, the tracking I saw, was they were saying that, oh, well, it has a broader appeal. It actually has a broader appeal to women, so it might actually do just as well. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Leonidas, guys walking around in cod pieces and their muscles through the whole 300, of course that was an appeal for women.
Right.
You know, it was just because it was a macho movie doesn't mean that women didn't like it.
Yeah, and this one just, you know, it because it was PG-13, they couldn't really, go for the same kind of appeal in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it had no real story. All it had was, you know, the little kitty cat. Meow.
Meow. Meow. And only a couple fight scenes. And that's really, whereas like 300 was like 300 fight scenes.
Right.
I think for the whole movie.
Pretty much.
But yeah, 10,000 BC still topped the box office, more than doubling what College Road Trip did, which apparently was a kind of a flop for Martin Lawrence. It's not looking good for him this year.
Yeah, but you know, Warner Brothers can't be happy about 10,000 BC, even though it won. I mean, it's still a third of the way to its to its budget. So, I mean, it's never going to make that back, except in worldwide
overseas
receipts and maybe on video.
They did okay overseas. And what's funny is other movies that you would consider a flop, like
Godzilla.
Godzilla did very well overseas. Golden Compass was the one I was going to mention. Yeah. It actually did incredibly well overseas, enough to make its money back. And same thing with Alien vs. Predator. Alien vs. Predator, which was kind of considered a flop. Alien vs. Predator Requiem from this, which was sort of like a soft $40 million in the States. It like quadrupled that overseas.
I would call $40 million for Alien vs. Predator a success.
It was a success, but it didn't make as much as the first one. Oh. The first Alien vs. Predator. But they're making another one of those. We'll talk about that in the internet-only segment. We also had The Bank Job that came in at number four. Vantage Point held.
Vantage Point's still making money.
And Semi-Pros falling.
Rewind that.
And then Miss Pettigrew, which was in a limited release, made 11, which apparently was pretty good. It made a couple. Came in 11th. It made a couple million dollars, which is good.
Good. Yeah, I don't think there were any real expectations for that.
Now, this weekend, what are your predictions? We've got in terms of the movies that's getting the biggest release is Horton Hears a Who.
Oh, that's going to stomp the box office, not to use an elephant pun.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right. No, I think it's going to be huge. I mean, we just got out of a screening for that, and the crowd went nuts.
And it was a last-minute screening, too. Yeah, this is the thing to know. This was the one that was delayed from Saturday to later in the week. And it was still packed.
Yeah.
So people still came to see it. And it's got plenty of stuff for the kids. It's got enough stuff for adults. Doomsday and Never Back Down's got a bigger release, but I just don't think there's an awareness for that.
You know, I don't know. I'm torn. I didn't think there was awareness for Step Up to the Streets, and that made tons of money.
Yeah, but see,
I'm so out of touch.
The first Step Up did
with
so
the teen market.
Yeah.
You know, since
unlike Neil Miller,
not a teen. Yeah, well, he's just about a teen.
Well,
he's a post-teen.
He just makes sure he's sort of like, well, you know, any good predator will, you know, make sure he's aware of what the interest of his prey is. That's all I have to say about Neil Miller. But anyways, but Never Back Down, it just doesn't have as much awareness, I don't think. And Doomsday is going to be out there, but I just don't think that one has much awareness.
It's going to get killed. No one knows it exists.
Yeah, and I think there's been so many like 28 weeks later, 28 days later, and Resident Evil Apocalypse. I think people are burned out with the whole Mad Max scenario.
Especially because none of them have really been any good.
Well,
lately.
They haven't been doing well either over the last couple ones they've released. So, but Horton Hears a Who, this is the other reason. We've had two really soft weekends. You had the weekend with Semi-Pro. You had the weekend with 10,000 BC. Both of them, they wanted to be bigger. They were about half of what everyone was expecting.
We didn't even talk about the precipitous drop of Semi-Pro.
Oh, it's crashing.
I mean, this is its second week, and it's already what? Where was it on the
five?
Fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Will Ferrell.
He's behind.
He's bulletproof, Vantage, right?
Yeah, not now.
Not anymore.
Sadly, sad to say.
But is that an indictment of Will Ferrell or is that an indictment of New Line?
I think it was. I think
a little
it was
both.
I think it was the R rating really hurt it. Yeah. For the audience they go for.
Right.
And but
it
I
was
think,
really scattershot. I mean, that
well,
was not a good movie.
But if you look at Horton, there's no other movies out there for kids at all.
No.
There hasn't been a good kids movie for months.
Not since the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah.
Which I'm disappointed that hasn't done better.
That's chugging along is doing okay. But also with Horton, this is a movie that, I mean, there's nothing out there to compete against it. They've had two soft weekends. You got spring break for some schools this week. I think it's just going to
be
a monster.
Yeah.
I think it's 50 plus, maybe even hitting 60.
I was thinking 50. Yeah.
I mean, the reports I'm seeing is like $49 million, but I think it's going to be...
I think it'll do better than that.
It might be like your 300 or your Ghost Rider from last year.
Ghost Rider.
Hey, look. It's Ghost Rider.
It's Ghost Rider. The guy with the flaming skull. Huh?
Yeah,
hey,
that guy.
Thanks for explaining that script.
I
never would have
guessed.
I didn't know
that there was other guys with flaming skulls running around. So anyways, we're going to actually take a break off of here, and we're going to throw you to Austin, Texas, where... Neil Miller is stopping his search for Kristen Bell and is going to take some time and talk about what he's experienced at the South by Southwest Film Festival. So, and he may have a guest, who knows? It might, if you hear somebody in the back going, that's probably Kristen
Call
Bell.
Call 911.
Yeah, Kristen Bell's tied up in his trunk. So, take it away, Neil.
I am in Austin, Texas. For South by Southwest. I almost forgot where I was there for a second. We are not in the Magical Studio in the Sky where Kevin and Dave are hanging out, probably putting some inappropriate things on the desktop of my iMac, but that's all right. I'm here with fellow Film School Rejects editor Brian Gibson and Peter Ceretta, the editor and chief of slashfilm.com. We are going to talk a little bit about a couple movies that we've seen here at South by Southwest. We're going to talk about Harold and Kumar, Escaping from Guantanamo Bay. We're also going to talk about Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the Kristen Bell, Jason Segel starred comedy. And I have a feeling the word penis is going to come up. That's a feeling that I have. We're also going to run you through a couple films that you should absolutely be looking out for as they start to roll out. We've seen a lot of great documentaries and things like that. And we're going to give you some of the feelings that we have from South by Southwest. So we'll start with Harold and Kumar, and we'll start with you, Peter. What did you think of Harold and Kumar? And you got to give it a grade. This is your first time on the show. You have to give it. Our grading scale is rocks or sucks, but you can also give it a kind of rocks or a kind of sucks, and there's no middle grade whatsoever.
Wait a second, because first of all, I want to thank you for having me on Fat Guys at the Movies.
It's our pleasure.
Because I am a fat guy at the movies, and that kind of sucks. Because not the movie. The movie doesn't kind of suck. The grading scale kind of sucks. Because I really am. It doesn't kind of rock, and it doesn't kind of suck. It's kind of in between.
You know what? I think we should adopt a new grading scale just for this show. We'll call the middle Peter.
So you're gonna give this a Peter grade?
Yes, it's the Peter. It's in the middle. Let me just say, I was a huge fan of the first Harold and Kumar. I was one of the few that actually saw it on opening weekend, and the theater was like a quarter full. Like, I'm not sure if the people listening out there actually know this, because right now Harold and Kumar has become this cult thing, but it really failed at the box office. But it had this really smart, clever sense of humor to it, and really touched on some social and racial stuff. And this film is basically takes the bad stuff from the first film, basically makes it a total stoner film. It touches on some racial stuff, but not in a clever way. And basically adopts everything from the first film that I thought was okay, and doesn't touch upon the stuff in the first film that was rocked.
And I'll agree with you. It was kind of the regurgitated joke. Over and over and over again, it kind of felt like the same thing. But ultimately, I thought it was still clever enough. But Brian, what'd you think?
I'm gonna have to agree with Peter, especially because the first film was such a pioneer. I mean, it was the first film that the star vehicle was not conventional. You had an Asian person, and you had Cal Penn. So I mean, it, like.
Who is not Asian?
Wait, are you being racist?
No, I'm not being racist. I'm just saying is that it was the first film that didn't have somebody of your more conventional, you know, a white man or, you know, a black woman or something starring in the film. It's the first time that that had happened, so it was kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Experimental. And that's the thing is that in some ways it was, you know, a success, but in other ways, like you said, in the box office, it wasn't a success, but there were a lot of things that were very, very, you know, smart in that movie, and this movie isn't so smart. It's still funny, but it's not as smart.
So you're saying they were just making a sequel just to make a couple extra dollars?
Pretty much. I'll agree with that one.
You know, I just thought that they showed all the funny parts in the trailers. George W. was just as stupid looking in the, you know, the actual film that he was in the trailers, and you know, I enjoyed it. It was worth watching, but I'd recommend people wait till DVD.
Oh, and I almost forgot. I have to set the tone here. I'm just going to say penis real quick because Neil mentioned that. And Harold and Kumar does have penis in it. I think we're all forgetting that.
And a lot of hairy bushes.
Yeah, and a George W. Bush.
I think Neil almost forgot that there was penis and bush in this movie.
All right. Well,
this has gone to heck.
Yeah, we're down a road that we really have to wait until the next movie that we talk about to go down. So, give it a quick grade. You're giving it a Peter grade, right?
I'm gonna give it a Peter.
Okay.
Wait, can I say one thing? If your listeners out there like what I'm saying, I'm Peter Schroeder from Slash Film. If you hate what I'm saying, I'm Alex Billington from FirstShowing.net.
Vote for me. So, all right, Brian, give it a grade real quick.
I'm gonna say it rocked.
Okay, all right, that's a full rock. I'm gonna give it a kind of rocks. I liked it. I think I liked it a lot more when I first saw it, and the more I see more intelligent stuff throughout the rest of the week, I'm like, well, it wasn't really that. It wasn't as good as I thought it was, I guess. So I've been checked up by all the other good comedies, and included in those other good comedies is Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which stars Jason Segel and Kristen Bell, and the illuminating Russell Brand as a crazy British guy, because he is in fact a crazy British guy. And I know, thank you, that was deep. Brian, we'll start with you. What did you think of Sarah Marshall?
I really like Sarah Marshall. I think it's really cool what Judd Apatow is doing by taking everybody that he knew had talent back with Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared and giving them their shot, and nobody's let him down yet. And Jason Segel is awesome. I don't know if I really had as much faith in him as a front man as I might have with Seth Rogen, but I mean, he held his own. It was a really, really good movie.
Pete.
Are you saying that just because you were at a party with all these people and you got to take pictures with Kristen Bell?
Well, I'm probably going to be giving the promotion a bad grade because of Sean William Scott, if that's what you're alluding to. But no, I really, really liked the movie. I really did.
Honestly, you know, I went in expecting to actually dislike it a lot. And, you know, it isn't super bad. It isn't Knocked Up. It isn't the 40-year-old virgin, but it's a close fourth. To those movies.
It's the fourth rung on the Apatow ladder, is what you're saying.
It's not a bad list to be on, though, you have to admit.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not a bad movie at all. It's actually, you know, it's worth going to. You know, it's worth seeing opening night. There's a lot of great moments in the film, and I think anybody that's ever been dumped will actually relate to, you know, the comedy of some of these just uncomfortable and awkward moments.
And then, of course, all of the moments where Jason Segel's penis shows up.
Yes. But you know what? On top of that, like, I've never been dubbed by Kristen Bell, so.
That's okay. Nice. I would probably... I don't know.
If you were dumped by someone, it's probably not as... she probably wasn't as good-looking as Bell, right?
I've been rejected by many a good-looking woman who's better-looking than Kristen Bell.
Really?
Yeah. That's because, just as Alex Billington from FirstShowing.net likes every movie, I hit on every woman I see, so.
I think I'm going to I'll have to be Kevin here for a second and say, hey, Neil, how old were they?
I'm sure Kevin's back in the magical studio in the sky just grinning from ear to ear on that particular comment. All right, so we'll finish. I guess I have to say something about Sarah Marshall. I agree with you, Pete. I went into it thinking it was going to be a pile of crap. And I'm like, there's no way that they can strike gold again with a very cheap and simple premise. And it turned out to be a really good, very smart, penis-filled movie. And there's
Muppets, actually created by Jim Henson.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
You can't go wrong.
You absolutely can't go wrong. I'm going to say that it rocked all the way. One of the better movies, not the best that I've seen, but one of the better movies. What do you think?
One of the better movies you've ever seen?
No, that I've seen this week. It's South by Southwest. It's one of the best movies of all time. That's what Alex said.
You know what? It has to be the unfunniest movie of all time. Honeycutt of The Hollywood Reporter.
Nice. All right, so if you had to give it a Fat Guys of the Movies grade.
Rocks?
All right, rocks. Brian?
I'm going to have to say that I'm going to say rocks hard because I was actually convinced by Alex Billington, who actually told me that he burned his copy of Citizen Kane after watching this movie. And then he said that Raiders of the Lost Ark looked like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. So I'm just going to have to say it rocked hard. And for the audience out there, when you think you're going to get away from Jason Segel's penis, I promise you, you won't.
It pops up like a bad... Something that pops up there. Yeah.
It's spam. It's like bad penis related spam. Now, we've been making fun of Alex so far in this segment, and he just walked in fresh from the plane with very cool Pineapple Express pants from Las Vegas. Alex, come over here for a second. So if you had were this is really creepy. He's now sitting on my lap. But so you were just at Show West, and you saw some cool stuff. If you had to give the listeners of Fat Guys the Movies two things that you saw at Show West that just blew your mind that are not related to prostitutes.
Or hot publicists that are married.
Yeah, or hot publicists that are married.
The two I were going to mention.
What should people be looking forward to?
The two things that I really loved from Show West were Tropic Thunder. They showed us a trailer and two clips, and remarkably, I'm very, 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 very excited for this movie. I think it's going to be one of the funniest comedies you'll see this summer, and it is just absolutely ridiculous. I hate saying this over and over, but like, I feel like I always say every movie is going to be the funniest comedy, or you know what I mean. But no, Tropic Thunder really looks good, and you'll see, everyone will see the trailer eventually, and when they do, it will be awesome, and you will all enjoy it like I did. And then the second one, which I just saw a couple hours ago today, was Speed Racer, which they showed us a 4.5-minute like extended trailer, and holy shit, on the screen we saw it on and the completed effects that we saw, it was mind-blowing. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Literally, what they did for The Matrix, they're going to do for Speed Racer and the racing genre, and it's going to... I was just gonna. You put it best when you were asking me what to explain. Blow your mind away. Does that even make sense? Whatever.
It kind of makes sense.
Well, either way, the point is, this movie is gonna rock your socks off.
And it's funny because Alex is wearing a Speed Racer hat, tank top, and really short shorts at the moment. He's totally sporting the movie like crazy.
And on top of that, he's sitting on Neil's lap.
and that's just, I mean, that's how we roll here in Austin.
It sounds like I can't be trusted. Jeez.
All right. Well, thanks, Alex, for giving us a little Show West update. That was, if you're not familiar with Show West, it is basically just a trade show for theater owners and press to go and see a bunch of cool movie trailers and shit.
It's become the place where they're like, oh, we're coming out with this movie in 3D and that movie in 3D.
Yeah, and it also is where they premiere a lot of the very cool standees, those stand-up things in the movie theater. Like the, you may notice like the cool Wall-E one that's got Wall-E and all that funness. So, all right, we'll wrap up our South by Southwest coverage in order to do so. We're going to have Brian come back over to the recording area, the mobile magical studio in the sky, which it probably sounds like crap. So I'll apologize right now that our recording, it probably sounds like ass, but we are in Texas, and that has something to do with it.
Wait. Are you saying Texas sounds like ass?
Yeah, but it smells good. It smells like barbecue, and there are a lot of hot indie rock chicks here. So, you know. But all right, so if you had to pick two films that you've seen at South by Southwest, and don't pick Harold and Kumar or Forgetting Sarah Marshall, because that would be lame. Two films that people should be looking forward to when and if they make it to their hometown. We'll start with you, Peter.
Okay, I know you're going to yell at me for these two selections, but I'm going to pick American Teen and The Wackness. Both movies I saw at Sundance, but I did see it again here. The Wackness I saw a third time. And, you know, I think those are the movies of the year. I know it's early on. I know it's March, almost April. What is it? March 14th. Okay, mid-March. I don't even know the calendar anymore. You know, I really think that those will hold steady, and those will be on my top list. It'll be on your top list. American Teen is the it has the potential to be the first mainstream documentary for the American Idol slash, you know, Hills slash, you know, post MTV America, and it's like the class of Ridgemont High, but if it was a documentary, and I The Wackness perfectly captures what it's like to grow up in New York City during the mid-90s. Not that I grew up in New York City during the mid-90s, but I did grow up during the mid-90s, and it perfectly captures that part, so I assume the New York City part with Giuliani, it got as well. I also wasn't a big druggie, but I can kind of relate. I didn't sell marijuana to my shrink. I actually didn't have a shrink. It's actually
for a movie I can't relate to whatsoever. I feel like I can relate to it a lot.
You know what? Olivia Thirlby is hot. And that's all I need to say.
All right, Brian, you're two Sunday or where are we? South by Southwest. You're two South by Southwest picks.
The first would be Blip Festival, Reformat the Planet. I really love the movie. I'm a big music doc fan, and it was great. The music is really cool. The way that it was filmed was really cool. I was a big fan of it. I think I gave it an A, and I think that's probably one of the must-see films that's going to come out of this festival, and I'm going to have to agree with Peter on The Wackness. I really, really liked it. I thought it was a great movie. I really can't wait until some of you guys can see it. It's kind of hard to describe. Like Peter said, there's a lot of dynamics to the movie that make it a kind of hard sell, kind of, you know, hard to explain to people. If I had to break it down, I would have to say, if you liked My Left Foot, you'll love The Wackness. I'm going to go with that one right there.
I just want to say that Brian going into The Wackness was like, well, Neil over-exaggerates with some movies. He totally went in wanting to not like The Wackness. He totally expected not to like it. He was like, oh, I don't agree with Neil most of the time. And then he came out and he was like, this is one of the best films of the festival.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good movie.
It was. And I will agree with both of you. Both American Teen and The Wackness are great films, but I'm going to pick two relatively unheard of movies so far. First is The Promotion with Sean William Scott and John C. Reilly. It was a fantastic comedy that it was very smart. You know, it's a story of two assistant managers in a grocery store who are battling for a promotion, and you instantly think Dane Cook, Employee of the Month, suck fest, and what you get is something very intelligent, very dark, and ultimately extremely satisfying. The other one was one that I saw earlier today called Beautiful Losers. It's a documentary about the street culture artists of the late 90s and or mid to late 90s, all over the place, but mostly in New York. Just this whole underground movement. And it was a very vibrant and dynamic film, and I thought it was to be as cliche as possible, a beautiful film about losers. So,
I saw the poster to The Beautiful Losers, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, and there was a party tonight that I'm missing to record this. gotta go to the party or not.
Chirp.
Bad joke. Where's Kevin when I need him? Kevin is back. Let's do like a final thoughts. Your South by Southwest experience. We'll go this way. We'll go, Brian, you can go first. Basically, overall, we still have like 3 days left, but how do you feel?
I feel that I should have a lot more piercings and wear some edgier clothes so I could pick up some of these girls here in Austin. But the movies thus far have been great. It's been a lot of documentaries, which there's no problem with because a lot of them have been fantastic. They do a great job at choosing films for South by Southwest. If you ever get a chance to go, it's great. Great movies, great atmosphere, great city.
Beat.
You know, that's the problem. It's great great atmosphere, great city, great parties, and lots of hot girls. And then there's the movies, and you're like, wait, movie or party? Or you're like, movie or, like, you know, meeting all these cool people, including the hot girls. And it's a hard choice for once. You know, at Sundance it isn't because it's all the L.A. chicks that are, like, you know, L.A. chicks. but here it's really a tough choice, and I think, you know, today's like what, the eighth day we've been here or seventh day we've been here, and I've probably only seen like 15 movies. So
whereas at Sundance we had seen like 25 by now. So, and I agree, it is an awesome experience. It is a fantastic town. I love Austin.
The producer Alex Billington has given us the wrap it up sign.
Yeah, I did. When I talked to Dave and Kevin earlier, I promised that this would be a 10-minute segment, and it's been 20. So I'll make it quick. South by Southwest is absolutely fantastic. I will have more for you on next week's show when I do my own complete wrap-up. But from Austin, Texas, to all of you around the world, back to Kevin and Dave in the magical studio in the sky.
As we come into the summer season here, Dave, we had Kristen on last week, and we talked about mm-hmm. the movies we were excited about and what we were dreading, stuff like The Love Guru.
Oh, holy cow, does that trailer look awful.
And Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda, and they showed us another longer trailer, and it doesn't look any funnier.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't know what part of, hey, let's put Jack Black in a cartoon.
Right.
How much do you want to bet he's going to sing? He's going to scat. He's going to...
Well, of course.
Figgity-figgity-doo. Biggly-diggly.
Right.
Because he even did that in... what is that movie?
But is he going to sing REO Speedwagon?
Yes, they'll wrap it all up with an REO Speedwagon.
No, you know what they're going to sing is White Lines or something.
Oh, you know what they should
do? Just so he can rap.
There was a movie called The Comebacks. Did you ever see The Comebacks?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well,
I like David Koechner, but there was no way in hell I was going to see that.
No, it's not a good movie. It's not. I'm not going to mince words here.
You do not value your time at all.
No, well, you know, hey, that's what I do for a living. It's a way to get out of the house and get away from the kids. But actually, I took my son.
You have fine children.
They're good kids.
They are good kids.
But there's a scene in there where they go to, it's I think Journey's Don't Stop Believing. Is that Journey?
Yeah, that's Journey.
And they start playing, I love that song. They could wrap up every movie ever made with Journey. And I would be like, that's awesome. It could be like Titanic. And right. he's Jack is floating away dead in the
right.
water.
And they'll play Separate Ways.
Bom, 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 bom. I'd be like rocking out going, yeah, that would be me. Name a movie. It could end with a Journey song.
Right, Faithfully.
Yeah.
You know, the Titanic ends with Faithfully.
Yeah, anything. I mean, it's just like, you know, Journey.
Chain Reaction ends with Chain Reaction.
Ooh, that's a great idea. There's
awesome a game
piece
to be had here. How many movies can you end with a Journey song?
Every one.
Okay.
If you're allowed to reuse them. I mean, you're only going to run into so many. I mean, is Journey even together again?
Well, funny you should mention that. They're putting a record out this summer. It's a three-disc set, and because they're on their third singer, I think, because one of them just left the band. What they're doing is disc one is re-recordings of Journey classics. That's never a good idea.
When you cover your own
work. Second album is all new stuff, 11 brand new tunes, and the third one is a live record.
It was Steve Perry who was with Journey. Are they re-recording all the Steve Perry songs with the new guy?
Yep.
But dude, Steve Perry has such a distinct voice.
Yeah, he does. But you know what? Did you hear the second guy?
No.
In the band?
Maybe not.
Sounded just like him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure why he left. I think he may have actually had some throat issues, some polyps or something on his.
Really?
Yeah. So I've got a new guy, and I have no idea how much he sounds like Steve Perry, but he can be imitated, and apparently Steve Perry was a colossal pain in the ass to deal with. So
I mean, he's an 80s rocker. What do you expect?
Well, I mean, some of them are humble.
Well, I've always found it because I used to do a
70s rocker, actually.
Yeah, 70s. Well, he also was in the 80s, too.
Right.
Then he started doing his own solo work.
Right, the Wimpy stuff.
Yeah. But I used to write for a paper in town and cover, like, bands that would come to town and that sort of thing. And I'm not a music guy. I'm not like you where I can rattle off. I can do that with movies, but I can't rattle off names and whoever. I mean, I mentioned Journey. I couldn't name 10 songs of theirs. I probably couldn't name 5, but I'd sure listen and I'd recognize them.
Right.
You know, I couldn't name you the title necessarily, but I would always end up getting interviews with rockers and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And the ones that were the best were the ones who were like huge ones. And you'd get the press release and say, hey, you know, Yes is coming to town. You're like, still around?
Oh yeah.
You know, and
I love talking to those guys because they're so honest.
Yeah.
And they can be candid about everything without having to feel like they have to puff their chest out and say, yeah, well, you know, and I'm still relevant.
Yeah.
I'm still awesome.
Well, what's great about I interviewed John Anderson from Yes, and he was
How was that?
He was hilarious because my son turned off my computer in the middle of it.
That
because my son was like 18 months and I'm like talking to him all of a sudden, boom,
boing,
and
boing.
I'm just like, what the I look down, my son's got his finger on the button, grinning at me. And I'm like, what? And so I tell John what happened. He's like, dude, I totally understand. I got kids of my own. And yeah, and those, you know, those are the ones that are my favorite, the ones that you don't even know are still around doing music. Like I interviewed Donny Osmond, and he was actually a little miffed that I was like, oh, you're still around. I mean, I didn't say it that rudely, but I was kind of like saying, well, can you talk about kind of like the stuff you've been doing? Because to be honest, Donny Osmond has dropped off the map.
Yeah, he had that comeback in like 1989.
Yeah, and
briefly,
nothing,
at two hits back then, and then nothing since.
And now, he still
and now
does
he's in College Road Trip.
Yeah, now he's in College Road Trip, along with the pig, and Raymond.
That would be Raymond Simone.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm bummed.
Yeah. Speaking of things that have gone away and are coming back, we're going to talk some of the new trailers have hit the web, and theaters and that kind of thing as well. But let's talk about the Incredible Hulk. That trailer is relatively new.
Yeah, it just came out today, right?
Well, today being this week sometime,
Magic
yeah.
Studio in the Sky.
The time is irrelevant.
There is no time, right?
The Magical Studio in the Sky is very similar to the TARDIS in Doctor Who, only there's a lot more pornography in it. That's all I can say.
There's more in some people's universes than others. In Kevin's, it's all day long.
That and movies like The Comebacks.
And God. Oh, jeez. Yeah, like all of those movies, all of the parody movies.
Those are getting old.
I will not see them.
Superhero movie, you're not going to go check that out?
No, you know what? I might buy it on HSX, though, because those things print money.
Yeah? Yeah. I'll tell you, though, there's a great line in The Comebacks. I mean, there's like, The Comebacks is really mostly, it's like 80% crap, but it has that 20% of funny lines and cute, you know, gags and stuff. There's a scene where the daughter's talking to her dad, who's played by David Koechner. And he's the coach, Coach Fields, Coach Lambeau Fields. And she's like,
I don't get it.
Oh. And he's like, I want to have what you and mom have. And he's like, herpes. Which is hilarious. Because I'm waiting for that chance to use that when somebody's like, I want what you've got.
Right.
Herpes?
Herpes? Oh, jeez. He tells his daughter that?
That's so funny.
Oh, that's just awful.
Anyways. So, The Incredible Hulk. Speaking of things that are green and growing, herpes and The Incredible Hulk. What'd you think of the trailer?
I'll be over there. I'm going to leave.
You're going to hide out near... You know, ooh, sound effects.
Yeah, that was me. My vain attempt at Foley.
The theater of the mind.
Right. You know what? I never saw the first one just because I wasn't doing this for a living yet. And, you know,
why else would you go see the Hulk?
Right, exactly. So I'm kind of underwhelmed by the trailer. I mean, Edward Norton generally has really good taste. But I don't know. I just watched the trailer and it didn't really do much of anything for me. I don't think it's going to be terrible, but I don't think it's going to be good either. It's going to be like a Fantastic Four movie.
I will defend the Fantastic Four movies just for being crappy and fun. But
And Jessica Alba's
in it, and she gets naked, although she's invisible. We got to find out. We got to, like, rob her of her invisibility and then make her get naked. I think Neil's working on that.
I think she's working more on the invisibility so she can like delete herself from the love guru.
That movie just looks so bad. That movie just, oh. Ugh. Anywho, if you do hear, if when I talk to Neil Miller, if I hear two voices going, he's probably got Jessica Alba's
the other
tied
one.
Up as well. But The Incredible Hulk looks like it's going to be better than The Hulk. If you haven't seen The Hulk, you're probably not going to be as jazzed about this trailer because The Hulk was just an absolute turd.
Right.
It was just so bad.
Who's directing this one?
I don't know. Some guy's name I didn't recognize.
Well, that's never good.
Anyways, let's move on to the next one. I'm going to save the next one we have on the list here for the last one to talk about because that's the one I want to see the most. Let's talk Speed Racer. We got to see that trailer at the Horton screen.
This is the first time I'd seen it. I had no idea how it was going to look. I didn't know it was going to be so colorful. It's like Joel Schumacher showed up and designed a bunch of stuff. Looked like a Batman movie from the mid-90s.
You need to have Alicia Silverstone fighting gang members in blacklight.
Right. What was with Christina Ricci's haircut in that, though?
I don't know, but it's got Christina Ricci in high-heeled boots, and I'll see it just for that.
And that's fine, but I wish she had longer hair. I just don't like her hair in that.
Who's looking at her hair?
Well, they didn't show the high-heeled boots, did they?
Yeah, they did, from the whole pedal pusher thing, when she was at the... It was, like, from the bottom, and she was... But it's not just that. She looks totally hot in that movie.
But I actually thought... I mean, just the design of it just really took me by surprise. I don't know how much I'm going to like it. But
I wouldn't drink caffeine before seeing it or drop psychotropics or anything like that.
Oh, God, no. But, I mean, you know, it's going to look really cool. Now, whether it can actually follow up by, you know, giving you a good story is another matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it just the way the cars are kind of shifting space and time could make things a little dicey. But, and I'm not sure if Emil Hirsch is quite ready to grab the brass ring. I think... Jury's still out on that.
Well, this
I wish him the best of luck, but
there are some things I like about it. I mean, the Wachowski brothers, they're good directors. I'll give them that, and they have a vision, definitely.
I think they're just the Wachowskis now.
They're
the
Wachowskis. They're not exactly both brothers.
No.
So, anywho,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you got to find yourself. I'm totally cool with that. But it does pose a problem when you do bill yourself as the Wachowski brothers.
Although it didn't even say that in this.
No, it says the creators of the Matrix.
Makers of the Matrix trilogy. Right.
And I love the Matrix. I actually liked all three movies. But this one, it looks like it's going to have that similar visionary style, although I think epileptics will need to avoid it.
Maybe.
But the problem with this one is it's got Emil Hirsch and Matthew Fox, two people who really, I don't think, have proved themselves as stars. I mean, Matthew Fox.
Oh, that's who the villain was. Okay.
Yeah. And then you got Susan Sarandon, who they did some work on her digitally because her eyes don't look like sunken volcano eggs.
She looked like she was drunk by one of the deep rising monsters that you said before.
That's right. She looked like Patrick Moynihan. I mean,
I was just laughing that they had her playing Emil Hirsch's mother. I'm like, grandmother.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's like, can she even have kids anymore? She's
well,
got to
not
drive.
Now.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I just, you couldn't have found someone 10 or 15 years younger.
Yeah.
To play his mother.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's like, what, 20?
Yeah, well, the thing is I don't know the Speed Racer mythology. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Maybe she had her much later in life or something. I don't know. Some fanboy can call the phone number and tell us and straighten us out.
That's right. So, I don't know. I'm still on the fence on that. But let's talk about the Lost Boys trailer. Lost Boys Part 2. We actually looked it up. Yes, we have to. I want to hear Venom.
You want to hear Venom?
Venom, come on, throw it out there.
Okay, yeah, it looks like the people who made this movie, their research consisted of watching, you know, a handful of Buffy and Angel episodes. I mean, they've got that scene of them around the campfire where he's like, "We're vampires." No, really, I'm a vampire. And it's like, oh, for crying out loud! I mean, the prosthetics, the makeup, it all looked like Buffy
direct to video,
you know, except it's all sexed up and a little bloodier. And
well, let's talk about the Corey Feldman at first, because he's shilling this thing like, you know, I don't know, like a pimp, man. He is trying to sell people. He's trying to sell this thing like a guy who's the pimp who's down to his last three girls, and they're like fat girl, no teeth girl, and smelly girl, and he's still trying to sell them to people.
Right.
He's like, no, really, it's worth $200. He's there calling up the mayor of New York. Or the governor of New York, and saying, hey, no, seriously.
Oh, the bit that was great was when he was talking about how the characters in this movie are like the niece and nephew of the characters in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, so it's characters you know, but you know, it's relatives that you don't know. So in other words, it's people that we don't know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference whether they're related to people we know or not. And he tries to make it cryptically sound like Jason Patrick might be in the movie. There's no way he's going
to
be in this movie.
No, his career is not in the toilet as far as it needs to be to make this movie.
I mean, yeah, but he was always too picky, with the exception of Speed 2,
yeah,
to do a movie like, you know,
well, and
this.
And I thought Corey Feldman in the trailer looks funny because part of the funny part of the first movie was he was like a kid being right. This, oh, I'm going to be the, and he's like all tough and everything.
Uh-huh.
When you're 30, it's not as funny.
Right. Well, yeah,
you
right.
You just can't pull that character off.
Here he is 21 years later, and he looks exactly the same.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one's going to suck. But the big one I want to talk about, Wall-E.
Wall-E. Oh, man. I am a huge Pixar fan, as you know. I mean, I've liked every movie that they've done, with the exception of Cars. I mean, that one, I didn't get anything out of that.
Yeah.
But this is Andrew Stanton, right? This is
Guy who did
Finding Nemo. Right, yep. Which was just wonderful. I was a little nervous about the fact that there isn't supposed to be a whole lot of dialogue in this, but after seeing the trailer, I am totally in.
I
cannot wait to see this.
I literally, when they showed that trailer, and you can see it on the internet, but we got to see it on the big screen. When that thing rolled, I was like a little kid again.
My jaw
dropped, and I was like, oh, and I cannot wait to see this movie.
It's going to be great. And you can tell it's going to be so sweet. It's going to break your heart. I can see it now. Yeah, I can't wait.
I absolutely cannot wait for Wall-E. That is my most anticipated movie of the year. Last year, Neil said about Transformers, he's like, you would have to just so totally ruin Transformers to not be an awesome experience for me.
Right.
Literally, you'd have to have a computer-generated Dane Cook and Pauly Shore do a riff for 30 minutes in the middle of this movie for me to hate it. Yeah, it would go like that. It would be like, hey, buddy. And then it'd be like, hey, what, you remember what it was like to have Cabbage Patch Kids and then take their heads off?
Right.
And that would be the entire bit.
Right. A-E-I-O-U. Yeah, that whole thing.
Kill Dane Cook.
Yeah, there are only... Did you ever get confirmation whether Zach Galifianakis is an avid reader of Film School Rejects?
I can't remember. I asked Neil, and I think he was dismissing it, or he said we were trying to get ahead of it, trying to get an answer, but... I'm going to claim victory on that.
One last thing about Wall-E. I mean, you were talking about this is the one movie you were looking forward to.
Yes.
Dark Knight is the only thing that comes close to Wall-E for
really?
Me. I can't even think of anything else that's coming out that I'm that jacked about. I mean, Indiana Jones, yeah, that's going to be cool. I'm not a comic book guy, so, you know, Iron Man's probably going to be a ton of fun, but I don't care.
Hancock
looks awful. Have you guys talked about that movie yet?
No, but
oh,
no, we have
God.
Talked about it. But it was like, and I was saying this to you tonight at the Horton Hears a Who screening. Hancock is like, I thought at one time Rob Reiner was a great filmmaker, could not make a bad movie because he did like When Harry Met Sally. He did
Sleepless in Seattle.
No, he didn't do
Sleepless. Oh, that's right. It was Nora
Ephron.
Sorry.
And you know, A Few Good Men. Yeah, and all those. And I'm like, he can't make a good movie. And then he's like, oh, yeah, hell, I can.
Watch
North. And for like. Right. Well, like 15 years, just crap.
Yeah, he's
crap,
done
crap.
Nothing. Right.
The Bucket List was okay.
I didn't see it.
But everything before that, and it looks like Will Smith was like, you know, oh, okay, I can't make a bad movie. People will go see my movies no matter what they are. I'm going to test that theory.
Right.
I'm going to get the worst script with the worst concept, and I'm going to get the biggest hack director in Hollywood, and I'm going to make Hancock. And that's what I think this is.
As I was explaining it to... my wife and I were talking about it earlier, and I said, Peter Berg. You know, I'm like, I think the best thing he did was the remake of The Longest Yard. And she goes, oh, so he's nobody's first choice then.
No, yeah, you're right.
And I'm like, I think that sums it up perfectly. No, he's not, you know. Yeah. And Charlize Theron is in this, but she's not even in the trailer. Did you notice that?
Really? I didn't even know that.
She's showing up on IMDb.
Well, she's done crap before, so I won't hold
it past
her. I
know, but it makes me wonder if her people are trying to bury her in this movie.
There's no way to bury Will Smith. It'd be like... Take my name off the movie. Take my face off the poster.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this is going to be his first bona fide, you know, I mean, he thinks he's still king of 4th of July.
Oh, this is going to
be. Not anymore.
Because there's something else big opening 4th of July, isn't
is there?
I think there is.
Oh, God. I need to look at the schedule.
I don't know. I'm not that
I'm
far
a rhinoceros. I see like right in front of my face and nothing else.
And you're enormous like a rhinoceros, too. No, I'm just kidding.
I am. I'm huge.
I got the fat in the room. Let's quickly rip into the new movie announcements. Quick response to some movies that are either announced or in production or changes or something like that. First of all, the Muppet movie. They're going to do a new one.
Sweet.
I love the
Muppets. I love the Muppets.
Are
they actually remaking the Muppet movie?
Or
are they just going to make another Muppet movie?
I think it's just a new Muppet movie. There's not a whole lot of
Muppet superheroes?
I don't know. But
epic Muppet movie?
I hope that it's better than like The Muppet Wizard of Oz, which they were doing a bunch of like sort of like direct to TV
Muppet
movies.
Saw.
Muppet, ooh, that would be awesome. You could have Beaker
it's Meet the Feebles, right?
Wouldn't it be, no, it'd be awesome if it was Muppet Saw, and you could have Beaker be the Hope and Bell character. So it'd be like... And then you could have like a final argument, and it'd be the big you know, speech where the good guy's talking to the bad guy.
Right.
And it could be Beaker and Animal. And it would be like... Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you record all this because, you know, when this movie is made,
and that's what it turns into,
right,
we're like,
can say,
we called
we
it.
We were here first. Pay us our money.
Exactly. Okay, now Harry Potter 7 is going to be Harry Potter 7 and 8.
Split into two parts, and that's probably the best call because I think they've done a really good job of trimming the fat from J.K. Rowling's books. And don't get me wrong, I actually have liked all of the books. But there are certain things that just would have really dragged a movie down.
Now
but
you've
I
read
think,
the seventh book?
Yeah, okay. I have. And I think it's a good idea that they split it up. I mean, the kids are all going to be 30 by the time this is over. But and they're bringing back David Yates to do them both.
I'm not sure about that.
That's what Jason was saying earlier. Okay. I'm kind of disappointed about that because I really wanted Alfonso Cuarón to come back. Or... for part 8, it would be really cool. Guillermo del Toro.
You know what would be great is if they did, like, just get two polar opposites, like had Chris Columbus do one and
Michael Bay.
Oh, Michael Bay.
I wanted Michael Bay to direct the last Star Wars movie. I think that would have been awesome.
Oh, Lord, that would have been hilarious. Well, this is the thing. If in reading the book, I've actually read the seventh book, and there is this big lull in the middle because the downfall of the books was they always have to take place over a year. So you either have to jump ahead or kind of bog yourself down because it can't all happen in like 2 weeks. And so there is a part where they kind of just go into, you know, marking time mode for about 50, 60
Although
pages.
This one doesn't really do that, right? I mean,
seventh one does.
It doesn't, but it doesn't take a whole year because, you know.
No, it does. Well, it does. Well, because, they go out into the woods.
Well, they go out into the woods, but I mean.
And they're there for like the winter and everything.
But it's not like graduation when everything
goes
down.
No, but I think it does pretty much go over the whole year because they keep referring to Hogwarts. But anyways, that's not to tell anything more that's happened except for the fact that, you know, Hermione kills Hagrid. No.
Right.
That's not true, people. I'm just lying.
She tortures him.
She tortures him first, yeah. and Beaker's there going, me, 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 me. But they could easily split this into two. I think it'll work. Okay, next. Bryan Singer's doing Superman Returns again. This is my question. This is my question.
I don't really care.
Warner Brothers, do you not learn?
Yeah.
Bryan
Singer spent so much money on that first one, and the movie was just, you know, I actually liked about the first two acts of Superman Returns, and then that last act just went completely off the grid.
Well, I think Singer's proved with Superman Returns that he's not the golden boy, that everything he touched doesn't turn to gold.
No, I thought the first X-Men movie was overrated. I mean,
those were good.
He's made two very good movies in my mind, and that's Usual Suspects and X-Men 2. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I never saw App Pupil.
That was okay.
But I was not very fond of the first X-Men. And I wasn't terribly fond of Superman Returns. So I don't think it matters who directs Superman Returns. In fact, I think it might be better served to get someone else.
I really think they should. I think it's a bad move to do it because he obviously, I think, just didn't know what he was doing, and he was trying to do too many things at once, trying to please too many people. All right, next one. Speaking of too many people, 300+1.
300+1.
What do you think?
They're all dead, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Okay. So what are we talking about?
Well,
then?
You could do the whole thing where the Persians actually do come back, and the Spartans do
and rape the Spartan women.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to see that movie.
No, but it's there's plenty of battle history with the Spartans. I just think it's going to be terrible because.
Do we get to see Lena Headey's nipples ripple in slow motion?
The ripple nipple scene.
Oh, that is what that is, isn't it? The ripple nipple.
Well,
scene.
Well, now that Sarah
that
Connor Chronicles
awesome.
Has that been canceled?
No, they just finished the season.
Oh, okay, I haven't watched the end of it.
It was actually a good show.
It was okay.
I enjoyed it. I've got a thing for. Oh,
they could have done more with Summer Glau.
We were gonna get on a conference call with Summer Glau, and our guy Will said, "You know, you guys have any questions for Summer Glau?" And Jason said, "Will you marry me?"
And then it didn't happen.
And then she reached through the phone and took out his heart out of his chest
and ate it. Yes.
Yes.
I'd let her do that to me. She's totally
hot. I
wouldn't ask her to marry me, though. I'd just say, can you just have sex with me?
Well, she's too young. for both of us, but
she's over 18, isn't she?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything,
dude. That's how I rent movies.
God, I just walk right into these, don't I? Oh, man. All right.
Next up is Alien versus Predator Part 3.
What's the setup of this one going to be?
It's going to be in space.
Space?
Yeah, it's not going to
blow. Yes! Are they going to have little helmets on to keep them from, you know, decompressing?
I don't know.
Oh, on another planet.
Well, either in space or on a, I don't know, but that's just the fact that these movies make money.
This is like, it's becoming like the Muppets franchise.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Alien versus Predator in space. Then we're going to get like, you know, Alien versus Predator Treasure Island.
No, no, it'd be Alien versus Predator versus the Muppets. And Beaker can come in and kill everybody at the end. Me, 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 me. And the Swedish chef can, and then like, and then it's like break the alien in half. He could cook the alien like he cooked the lobster.
Right. And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, the predator rips out his spine.
That would be, or just rips his arms off because the hands could go in different directions. That would be awesome. All right, next one, Rambo 5. Talking about.
You've got HGH next to you.
That's what I think they should call it, Rambo 5 HGH. And his job is to liberate some vials of HGH from a lab so he can inject them into himself and grow huge.
God, the sound in that last movie, I felt like I was knocked back a row. It was so loud.
I loved Rambo, especially the explosion.
We actually had a really good time watching that.
So I approve. And now the next one, last one, because we got to roll here because this is a long segment.
Sorry.
Neil met the people from Ask a Ninja, and they like fat. Well, I don't know if they like fat guys. They like Film School Rejects, and they are making the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes remake. What do you think of this?
You know, I'll admit I've only seen one scene from the original, but I am all for this.
Yes.
I mean, how can you go wrong?
Well, you know, Rob Reiner, I used to say, could do no wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking like a movie along the lines of Planet Nine from Outer Space. I mean,
oh yeah, that's one thing I would love to see them remake. Wouldn't that be totally awesome? Yeah, and like do it like seriously.
Do it seriously?
Yeah, do it like as a serious, serious movie. Wouldn't that be awesome?
All right, who would you put in charge?
Well, no, the director would have to be in on it. And you'd have to, and right. You get like somebody, you get people who just are really bad actors, like Tara Reid, and
Hayden
and,
Christensen,
and Hayden, yeah, Hayden
he could be
Christensen.
A good dead guy.
But you, and then also you get people who are like, you can take good actors and just misdirect them, like right. Get Jim Carrey to play the lead, but have him play dead serious,
fool them,
and then have him do like the off takes as he goofs off, and then intercut it, so he goes from being this incredibly serious to wacky guy.
This is
genius.
Kevin, that's genius.
It's genius.
I got to say, that's inspired.
Well, and I've told you my whole... I can't remember whether you've heard this. I told this to Kristen last week. One of the things I do want to do is... I would love to do is have a... take like a Shakespeare movie and it'd be an ensemble piece. Something like Much Ado About Nothing, only right. Not one of his comedies, one of his tragedies.
Right.
And cast just everybody who's terrible. Like cast Dane Cook and Pauly Shore.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, and just right. Do it and make them do it so serious and just have it just suck.
Oh, but you know what? Throw in one good actor just to make them stand out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Get Don Cheadle and put him in the middle of it.
Don Cheadle.
Because you know he would try as hard as he could to be so good and then would walk away going, how much am I getting paid for this?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that would be awesome. But I did have some suggestions. You go to Fat Guy, go to Film School Rejects, and I have some suggestions of what they should put into Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, like William Hung singing Puberty Love. And
that's... What?
Haven't you ever? Have you seen the movie?
I've seen the bit of the old people in front of the TV.
No, the shtick is the killer. The tomatoes come out, and the only thing that kills them is Puberty Love, this song. That it's really cheesy. It's puberty love, and it makes them blow up. But you have William Hung.
So that's where Tim Burton got the idea for Mars Attacks. Then,
yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And then you have a scene where, and then you also have to have Sam Jackson walk in the middle of it and go, "I'm sick of
had it with these motherfucking tomatoes
in this motherfucking movie."
I would see it for that alone.
With that.
And then he gets bitten by a snake.
Yes, and with that, we'll be back.
Okay. Okay, let's talk DVDs for a second. This is one of those weeks, Kevin, tell me if you agree with me on this, where there are a bunch of high-profile releases coming out this week, but not many of them are particularly good.
Well, I think you kind of have to look at DVDs as... they always throw out a lot of them, and I'll rent a movie before I'd actually go see it in the theaters if I wasn't, like, reviewing it.
Everyone's expectations drop a good letter grade.
Yeah, yeah, and stuff like I know, for example, you hated B-Movie.
Despised it.
But, you know, your
son's... Way up on my worst movies.
Your son's not old enough to watch it.
Thank God.
And I guarantee you, you're going to be ending up with Kung Fu Panda or something like that later on.
I know.
And
so you
see a certain amount of value to renting it, at least for the kids to watch. You know, and you can be like running around the house making dinner or whatever, or playing your Galaga game you got in your basement and all that kind of stuff while that's going on. And you will gain an appreciation for even bad kids' movies and the worth on DVD.
Oh, gosh. I know you're right. I don't want to believe you. I don't want to agree with you, but I know you're right.
It will happen.
Oh, geez. But there's so many good ones out there. I mean, why can't you just show them another one of those? I mean, show them, you know, an older Disney movie, or show them, oh, gosh. You know, and I was just joking with somebody about the fact that I just watched Watership Down because we were doing this piece.
You can't show that to like a 3-year-old.
Movies, but, well, not a 3-year-old, no. But I saw that in the theater as a child.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
I was kind of freaked out by it. But I don't think I had nightmares over it. But I mean, that our parents took us to that and now we're like afraid to show them, you know, anything.
Not me, man. I was going to take them to Alien versus Predator Requiem. I went and saw that and I go, you know, I probably won't because. Yeah. It is a bit harsh.
I still think of the 6-year-old that was at Clerks 2 when we saw that.
Well, what about the babies that were in, like,
I Am Legend?
I Am Legend. Because that infant was like, I need to see that movie.
Right. There is one that's coming out this week that I would definitely recommend, and that is the Best Picture winner, No Country for Old Men.
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
Never heard of it. Did it do well?
It did okay. You know, it made a couple bucks, and you know, I think probably just made enough for those Coen brothers to, you know, maybe get another movie done.
It was a musical, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was. I thought so.
Set in Iceland during the 40s.
Yeah, that was out there, which was actually kind of gutsy to put it out there to have the release this close to winning the award, because you didn't know if they were going to put the Best Picture Oscar sticker on the front sometimes.
Right.
Which they didn't.
And it's still in the box. It's still in the theaters, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it got a huge bump from winning the award. It was like just under $50 million, and like it got like $20 million over the next week.
Yeah, how do you beat that?
Yeah, so. Mine, I'm going to geek out here. My pick of the week is Stargate, The Ark of Truth. I'm a huge fan of the Stargate TV shows. And if you don't know the history behind them, they did SG-1, which was 10 seasons, the longest running science fiction show, unless you want to count Doctor Who.
They did 10 seasons?
10 seasons of SG-1. They spun off another show, Stargate Atlantis, and now they are doing direct-to-DVD movies so they can with the Stargate SG-1 cast. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't know anything about Stargate, I wouldn't necessarily go rent this because you'd be so completely confused. So
it's kind of like the Futurama DVDs that they're putting out.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are... Totally fan only.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was okay when I watched the Futurama DVD, but yeah. Admittedly, I never watched the show.
Oh, well, if that thing was so loaded with in jokes.
Oh yeah.
And reference, it tried to reference pretty much every single episode in the show's history.
Yep. Yep. But the stinker of the week, I think we both agree on this one. I'll let you take it.
Well, I mean, obviously, if I were going to choose a definitive stinker, I would pick B Movie. But your selection is pretty good too, and that's August Rush.
Yes. Yes, August Rush.
Just an unholy mess of a movie. Homeless Bono.
Oh, well, and this, I got a funny story behind this. There's a kid, his name's Evan, and he started reading my reviews literally years ago. And you know, my email address is on my web pages. Anyone can email me, and a lot of people have, oftentimes to tell me I'm an idiot. But you know,
that's
going to
happen. If you have an opinion, someone's going to disagree with it.
Generally, people who agree with it, they just don't respond.
Yeah.
And it's the people who are like, no, you're a moron, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, but there's this kid, Evan. I think he's from somewhere like New Jersey or New York area.
Yeah.
And he started emailing me like years ago, just kind of saying, oh, did you like this movie, whatever? And I respond back. And we've been kind of just emailing for years back
pals.
And forth. Yeah, it's bizarre.
That's so cute.
And he likes it. He'll always say, what are you looking forward to this summer? And he's a huge Pixar fan. And he was like, I can't wait for August Rush. And then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, okay. And he'd been emailing back and forth, and he emailed me just this week. He's like, It's like the third time he's asked. He's like, "What did you think of August Rush?"
Oh, you never told him?
Well, and I kind of like, I'm like, "Well, it wasn't that great," and I'm just like, "No, it's like the worst movie of the year." and I mean, because the kid's got such a good heart, and he's
right,
and he's such a movie fan too. But
do you get a sense of how old he is?
He's a teenager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's still, his tastes are still in development.
Yeah. Well, he recently he referred to one time like a year or so ago, a year or two ago, he had his bar mitzvah. So I'm assuming he would be around 13. So right. There you go. But it's funny because good kid. He emails me every now and then. Yeah. Just kind of keep me updated on what's happening and what movies he'd be like, I saw this movie and this movie. And I'd say about half the time we agree, which is normal for anybody. But yeah, it's. So he was dying to see August Rush. And I'm like, oh
poor Evan.
Yes. Anyways, let's wrap up the reviews. We had this week, we had Doomsday, which both got preemptive sucks.
Preemptive suck.
Because they're idiots and they didn't screen it. Sorry. Horton Hears a Who.
I think I said Kind of Rocks.
You said Kind of Rocks. I gave it a full Rocks. Funny Games, I think we can agree.
Sucks.
Worst movie of the year.
Hate that movie.
And Never Back Down, I gave a kind of sucks just because I didn't think it just wasn't as good as it could have been.
I was going in thinking it would be a full blown suck, but it actually surprised me. Still wasn't good, but kind
of
sucks.
You're on that kind of sort of kind of rock suck.
No, I'm not even close to kind of rocks. I was closer to kind of sucks.
Okay.
Or closer to total suck.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to sign off. Next week, we're going to talk about Drillbit Taylor, Meet the Browns, and Shudder.
Oof.
And
yikes.
Most likely, Neil Miller will be back for the show.
Boy, I'm glad I don't have to do that one. You know, number, you know.